You're listening to Insight on Cap Radio. I'm your host, Alan Young. For many years, California has cemented a reputation as a consistent Democratic stronghold, but cracks are beginning to show. Recent shifts in voter registration data suggest subtle but potentially significant changes in our state's political landscape. A new report from the Public Policy Institute of California reveals that more Californians, especially Latino and Black voters, are switching from the Democratic Party to the Republican Party or other affiliations. These changes, although small, could possibly even shift the balance of power in Congress in this upcoming election. Are these emerging trends just a blip in a reliably blue state, or the start of a new political identity of California? We're joined today by Eric McGee, Policy Director and Senior Fellow at the Public Policy Institute of California, Democratic consultant Robin Swanson, and Mike Madrid, a conservative consultant and author of the new book, The Latino Century. Eric, Robin, Mike, it's a pleasure to have all of you here.
Great to be with you.
Thanks for having me.
Starting with Eric, over the last 15 years in California, voter registration to the Republican Party has been in decline. Registration to the Democratic Party has essentially stayed flat. But since 2022, those trends have begun to shift. Eric, what changes are we seeing in who is signing up to be a Democrat or a Republican?
Yeah, it's not even so much a change in who is signing up to be a Democrat or Republican. It's about who is switching from being something to something else. So we have seen over the last couple of years, as you note, a small but you know, notable shift of people switching their party registration from something else to Republican. That switching has been people switching from no party preference, our independent category, to Republican, but also some Democrat to Republican as well.
And what do we attribute to these changes? I know that some of them are a little more technical, and then some of them might deal more with changing voter attitudes.
Yeah, so the kind of more technical part is that we had a Republican primary, presidential primary, that only allowed Republican registrants to participate. So in order to have some say in that Republican primary, you would have to switch to be an official Republican registrant. The same thing did not apply to the Democrats. They allowed the no party preference registrants to participate in their primary. So there's certainly reason to believe that people would make would switch for that reason. And we see some evidence that the people who participated in the March primary definitely did switch from no party preference to Republican, a lot more than from Democrat to Republican. The people who did not participate in the primary, however, we see a lot more of the Democrat to Republican switching, and that's a little bit more the likely to be something that is driven by broader political allegiances and shifts in allegiances.
Well, building off that, Robin, what do you make of this beginning of shifting from Republican to Democrat?
Yeah, I'm not sure that I'm buying that it's a shift. So, I mean, for starters, I agree that the way that Republicans run their primary, i.e. you have to be a Republican to vote in their primary, encourages independent voters to, during a primary, vote Republican. We do not see that trend in general elections. And just, I think context is really important. So the California Democratic Party represents 10 million people. It is the largest party in the nation. We have super majorities in the legislature. 40 of our 52 members of Congress are Democrats. Our two United States senators are Democrats. Our entire constitutional elected officers are Democrats. That said, we take everything seriously, and we've got votes to earn. And targeting and getting out the vote with young Democrats and Latinos is clearly a priority for Democrats. But we're not seeing that as a statewide trend.
Mike, do you see a beginning of a statewide trend here?
I think the most fascinating thing about this has been a national trend. It started everywhere else, but California has in many ways been a lagging indicator in the largest ethnic demographic political transformation in probably the last century. There's no question it's happening. The question really is, how long is this going to last, and is it a meaningful change? We have known for a long time that Latinos have a stronger likelihood of being no party preference, that we have a much weaker partisan anchor, frankly, with both parties than any other race or ethnicity in the state. And we've also seen, even though registration has been lagging with Republicans, stronger Republican performance in every assembly, Senate, congressional district, and the entire state for a number of years now. So those are all signs that something is sort of brewing and has been brewing. And my strong suspicion is it's probably going to start reflecting what we're seeing nationally, which is this larger class shift that these voters are moving rapidly away from the Democratic Party's perception of Latinos as a racial and ethnic voter and more towards an economic populist pocketbook voter. Again, like we've seen in transitions throughout the country. So I think the most interesting thing, as I mentioned, was that, yeah, it's certainly happening. It's quantifiably happening. It's measurably happening. The answer becomes how long, how sustained, and is it mirroring what we're seeing in other parts of the country?
Let's talk about potential immediate impact. November 5th election, these shifts from Democrat to Republican represent less than 2% of likely voters, but are more prominent in the Central Valley, where there's a high concentration of Latinos and multiple competitive races for the House of Representatives. Could these recent changes in voter registration influence the outcomes of these close congressional races, potentially impacting which party will control Congress? Eric, we'll start with you.
Of course, and these races are incredibly close. Almost anything could flip them. As you say, the percent is pretty small still. I think it's worth noting that the total number of new registrants that we have seen come onto the voter registration file since the 2022 election is roughly 8%. So, if you put it in that context, a little shy of 2% is maybe not quite as small as it might seem, but it is still small. However, when you have a close race, almost anything could flip it.
I want to talk about demographics. Only 1% of Republican likely voters are African American. To what extent are African Americans changing from Democrat to Republican in California, and are we seeing any trends related to their age and gender? Eric?
So the patterns that we've been describing here are tend to be more about race than age. So we do see that younger registrants, especially kind of more middle-aged registrants, and to a certain extent also the youngest registrants, making this switch from Democrat to Republican. It's more common there. But if you kind of look at it by age and race, it's really kind of more of a racial thing than it is an age thing. So we just see fairly pronounced Democrat to Republican shifts among Latinos who are kind of middle-aged and younger. We see the same thing among African Americans, except it tends to be sort of a mix of parties that they switch to. So it's not just to Republican, it's also to an other party category. And they actually, if you look at the youngest African Americans, they are switching also to no party preference. They're just switching away from the Democrats. Now, it's worth noting that this is a group of people who is very heavily Democratic to begin with. We're starting from a high level, but nonetheless, that's the general pattern.
Robin, there's been a lot of discussion on the national level about Vice President Harris working and being challenged to become appealing to African Americans, particularly Black men. What's your take on what's playing out on the California level?
Yeah, and I think Vice President Harris has said that she is out there to win and earn every single vote. So she has prioritized that, and I think will continue to. You were talking about competitive congressional races. That is certainly one of the primary focuses of the California Democratic Party. And I agree with Eric that every percentage, every 0.1 percentage of a shift will impact a race like a congressional race in the Central Valley, in Orange County, in the Inland Empire. And those are places where get out the vote efforts are really important. However, we've done some polling in the California Democratic Party, specifically with Latinos, and with Kamala Harris in the race, we have seen a surge in voter enthusiasm in California among Democrats and specifically among young Latino Democrats. There was also a poll recently put out by the Latino Community Fund, which I think supports that in these races like Adam Gray versus John Duarte, that Latinos are predominantly going with Adam Gray by about a 20%, 20-point difference. So yes, every digit makes a difference. I mean, we remember in this last cycle that, there were single-digit races in the assembly. So that's really important. But we are seeing the trends work in our favor. So, at 3 in 4 Latino voters in these 5 congressional districts say they would be more likely to vote for Democrats who vote for a pathway to citizenship. All of the Democratic bread and butter issues around the economy, around minimum wage, around abortion access, reproductive freedom, those are the issues that win for us. And so that's what we're going to be talking about through November.
Mike, you've been looking at the same data. How do you interpret the numbers?
Well, that same poll unfortunately has 200 samples. The sample size is 200 of each of those congressional districts. That's not polling, that's propaganda. And that it flies in the face of everything that the LA Times put out, which showed just the 3 days earlier, which showed a 15-point drop from Kamala Harris's numbers to where Joe Biden was at. So we got to be really, really careful when we're looking at objective news source data, groups like the PPIC, that's kind of the gold standard in California, and then partisan organizations that are kind of driving a very different and distinct message. There's no question that the Democratic Party has more support amongst Latinos, specifically in California, but there's also no, I don't think there's anything that you can argue that that is slipping. And the question really is why? We got to start looking at why. And I think, again, there's a 30-year trajectory of very, very low voter turnout that helps us understand and crack the code as to what is happening here. You start with low voter turnout, then you start to see voting behavior move towards another party. And then now we're finally starting to see registration follow up with a national trend. And really, what I think it suggests is not that Latinos are becoming more conservative. They're simply becoming more populist. They're moving away from both parties, and it's impacting the Democratic Party more because they come from a stronger starting position. I don't think that's anything to be fearful of. I think, frankly, it's a good development for the Latino community, someone who's been working with Latino voters for 30 years. Neither party has met the needs of this community. We see that over and over in all of our polling, and we have for many decades. I think that the moment is here to kind of shed the coils of both parties when they're not listening to your community and start saying, we have these very strong unmet needs, and we're starting to finally see voting behavior that reflects that.
I'm curious whether it's gradual or whether we're why we'd just be seeing this now. So, Eric, your data, the PPIC, shows that we pretty much had flat numbers or not much of a change in the numbers for 15 years. And then the numbers have just recently started to switch. Is that in large part, do you think, because of the upcoming election? What do you think is going on?
Yeah, I mean, it's a very good question. The data that I looked at wasn't survey data, so I wasn't able to really talk too much about motivations. But the as you say, that there was this longer term trend of the Democratic registration being pretty flat and Republican registration declining, and it was the no party preference category that was growing, and we've seen that reverse a little bit in recent years. And the interesting question, as has been said here, is whether this is just a blip or whether this is something, a sign of some kind of broader change. It is a relatively small shift so far. So if you look at the top line numbers between the 2022 election and today, just looking at the official reports of registration from the Secretary of State, we see that the Republican registration has come up just a smidge. The NPP and Democratic registration has come down a little bit. They're not big numbers so far. What's interesting is that what's driving that sort of bend in the curve in the trend line is this switching behavior. And so that's kind of otherwise, the new registrants, as they have been for quite some time, are generally pretty Democratic and no party preference. They lean very strongly that way when they sign up for the first time. So what's interesting is that we're seeing people switching, and at least some of it appears to be for reasons other than this kind of super technical reason about voting in the presidential primary.
Mike, I'm curious why you think the numbers could be switching now, and also what the biggest factor is in determining whether a Latino person in California identifies as a Democrat or a Republican. Is it age, social class, or length of residency in the state?
That's a fantastic question. And the answer is it's an intersection of all three of those. I think what's important to understand is that the Latino voter now is foundationally different than the Latino of the past 25 or 30 years. You know, that's driving most of this change. And again, you're not going to see it necessarily driven by first and primarily voter registration. Historically, we know that changes in voting behaviors by blocks happen at the ballot box before re-registrations occur. So what's different? The main difference is that the new Latino voter registrant is much, much more U.S. born than it was just a couple of decades ago or even a decade ago. So that, more than perhaps any other dynamic, is speaking to a weakening ethnic and racial identity anchor. And there's a much stronger focus on economic and pocketbook issues. According to Pew Research, you know, two-thirds of third-generation, and now, frankly, a fourth-generation discernible voter, which we didn't have 15 years ago, we're starting to see, you know, by two-thirds margin, overwhelmingly an identification as typically American, much weaker than the country of origin that you saw primarily with first and second generation voters. So these changes, remember, these are incremental. There's this need to kind of look at races and say, oh, well, it's not a big deal. It's only 1 or 2 points. Well, what happens is they happen 1 or 2. That's the way changes happen. If you look back at the voter registration numbers from 1994 to now, 30 years ago with Proposition 187, the number went from 11% to about 22, 23% of the entire electorate. That means it's moving at about 1% per election cycle. It's very, very de minimis. These changes rarely, rarely happen in one fell swoop. They happen generationally as people turn 18 and as people pass away and the changing conceptions of both parties occur. So I think you framed the question perfectly, which is it's the interaction of race, ethnicity, education levels, income levels, and what we're learning more about later is further generations away from the immigrant experience.
Eric, would you like to respond?
Yeah, I just, the one thing I wanted to add was that there is polling that suggests under Trump, so there's always been a large portion of the Latino community that identifies as conservative, and then they vote Democratic despite identifying as conservative. And one of the things that does appear to have changed under Trump is that those conservative Latinos have been much more likely to vote Republican. So they have found specifically something attractive about Trump that wasn't attractive about other Republican candidates in the past. And so then the question does become, you know, if that's the trend, do we see that stop with the conservative Latinos, or is it going to kind of continue on throughout the rest of the Latino community?
Robin, I'm curious what you make of this conversation and also what the Democratic Party is saying to Latino voters, and what do you think they need to say?
For sure. And I just want to correct the record, because the California Democratic Party, the poll that was commissioned was of 1,200 Latino voters statewide, 1,200. We did not, that was not the same as the poll that I think that Mike Madrid was looking at. So those poll results are really important for us in terms of guiding the principles that we're looking at and making sure that we're speaking to the right issues. So it is cost of living, it is housing, it is the economy, all the things that, you know, impact middle-class families, impact Latinos in California. It is abortion access, it is child credits, it's child tax credits. So all of those things are really important. And all of these congressional candidates are talking about that. And I'm going to go ahead and say that appearances like Donald Trump's Univision appearance, disastrous as it was, help us. So I think moderate Republicans who are looking for somebody to vote for that represents a moderate view, when they see performances like his Univision town hall, where he is insulting to immigrants, where he is insulting to middle-class Latinos, that helps the Democratic Party nationally and here in California.
I want to switch to another population. Eric, your study shows younger California voters are abandoning Democrats and registering as Republican at higher numbers than older Californians. Now, I want to be careful not to draw a false equivalency, because Gen Zers in California are still overwhelmingly registering as Democrats. But how statistically significant is this trend of party switching among young people?
Yeah, well, I mean, so this, because this isn't a poll, it's not really a statistical significance issue. It's just kind of where the data are at, right? It's really more important to think about magnitudes, and the magnitudes are still relatively small. And so really the question is sort of twofold. One, is this a sign of they're small, but kind of surprising, I would say. And so the question then becomes, is this a sign of a trend that's going to continue? And then that eventually that'll build up and become something more significant. And is it a sign of something broader? So do we might think that for every person who makes the switch, there might be a few others who thought about making the switch and didn't. And then it starts to become a little bit more significant. But to the extent that that's happening, it could be a bigger movement. But the numbers still at this point, just objectively, are relatively small.
Mike, what do you think what are the numbers among younger voters? And do you think there's a shift in attitude among our young California set?
Yeah, I think one of the most troubling dynamics, and again, there's a huge overlap between non-white voters and young voters, especially in California. But what I think one of the most troubling dynamics is that there is a loss of confidence in the institutions of not just government generally, but politics specifically. And so it leads to this sort of more populist sort of anti-establishment behavior. You saw, for example, it wasn't just Donald Trump who overperformed some of these voters, some of these Latino voters. You actually saw Bernie Sanders do extraordinarily well too. And what they both have in common is they both have very strong resonant populist messages that are effectively running against their own parties. Bernie Sanders won the Democratic primary, as you may recall, in 2020, in part because of commanding performance in Latino communities with a message saying the system, meaning the Democratic Party, is rigged. And that's a message that works very, very well with Latino voters. And again, begins to explain why you have had historically low voter turnout rates amongst the largest ethnic plurality in this state. So again, I don't think there's very little data suggesting that there's this broad change amongst Latinos becoming more conservative. I've never really seen any data to that effect. But what I have seen a lot of data pointing out is that Latinos are becoming much more populist and rejecting both parties broadly. And again, I would suggest that that's a reflection that's going to hurt the Democratic Party more because it's so overwhelmed. Latinos have been so overwhelmingly Democratic for the better part of 25 years.
Just to wind down here, I'm curious if loyalty to the Democratic Party is beginning to erode, what could the reasons be? Is this something more nationally? Is this just the result of longtime rule of a supermajority Democratic legislature? Or is it something that's more narrow and defined in our current day-to-day life, like inflation creating anxiety around personal budgeting? Mike, I'll let you answer, and then Robin will let you respond.
Well, I look nationally, it's very clear. It's not just, like I was saying, that Republicans are getting a bigger share of Latinos. Most of that's happening despite Republican efforts, not because of it. But I've always believed and have said very publicly to Latino legislators, Democratic legislators in this state, there's no evidence to suggest that Latinos have a strong affinity to the Democratic Party. They just really don't like the Republican Party. That's the glue that's driving this together. It's negative partisanship. Ironically, the Republican Party has become a much more diverse party under Donald Trump than under any other previous president before. That is a peculiarity. That is a strange dynamic. But the idea that somehow Democrats had this natural affinity to the Democratic Party has always been a misleading, at best, a misleading bit of information. But we're seeing that really not be the case now. And I think increasingly you're going to see, again, not movements necessarily towards the Republican Party, although that's the way it's manifesting, but they're really, more than anything else, it's a shift away from the Democratic Party.
Robin, just to bring us home, what does the Democratic Party need to do to maintain these voter bases and expand them?
And I think we're doing that in this election. And I do think one of the really important things that Democrats have is we have incredible surrogates at the statewide and congressional and national level who can speak authentically to Latino audiences. So whether it's Senator Alex Padilla or other national surrogates, we have those authentically from California. And frankly, California really led the wave of having these statewide Latino elected officials. So I think those surrogates are really important. People who can be trusted doing outreach in language where possible and where needed is going to be really important. And really just turning out the vote. I mean, we're already in election month right now. And so every day matters. And so getting out the vote and getting folks to polls is our primary goal right now.
That's all the time we have. I want to thank you all for a great conversation. Eric McGee is Policy Director and Senior Fellow at the Public Policy Institute of California. Robin Swanson is a Democratic strategist and founder and CEO of Swanson Communications. Mike Madrid is a conservative political consultant, co-founder of the Lincoln Project, an anti-Trump group, and author of the new book, The Latino Century. Next up, visual artist Yuli Smith explores community and connection in her new solo exhibit, Belonging, appearing this week at Sac State. You're listening to Insight here on Cap Radio. I'm your host, Alan Young. We're back in just a moment.